We'll begin this rain report for September 17, 2010 in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, this is The Rain Report, available as a podcast and download from therainreport.com. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK. Sierra Madre, California officials have launched the city's first emergency radio station. Transmitting on 1630 kHz, the station is designed to broadcast alerts and other vital communications during floods, fires, quakes, and other emergencies. The project was spearheaded by Hank Landsberg, WB6MEU, recipient of the city's 2010 Public Safety Award and the man behind Henry Engineering in Los Angeles. The AM radio station is licensed and regulated by the Federal Communications Commission as a traveler's information station. Amateur news line's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, spoke with Landsberg about this most unusual project.
This project started a couple years ago when the city was considering contracting with a company that provides reverse 911 calling service. If there's an emergency, they will call a list of residents if necessary and tell them that they have to evacuate or give them information or whatever. But then the other problem was whenever we do have any kind of an incident in town, of course, the police department gets just swamped with phone calls, and it takes up a lot of manpower just to man the phones to basically give the same information over and over to hundreds of callers. So we started looking into this a few years ago also as a way of utilizing the existing fire horn that we've had since the 20s. We've had a fire horn here that was originally used to summon the volunteer fire department. We still have the volunteer fire department, but we don't need the fire horn to call the firefighters because we use cell phones and pagers and that sort of thing. But we still had this fire horn that we wanted to use somehow. Some folks at the Sierra Madre Fire Safe Council approached me a few years ago, and they sort of had the idea of using the fire horn to alert people to turn on their radio to get information. But at that point, we needed some way of getting information to them over the radio, over the air. That's when I started looking into if we could use a TIS for that function. And as it turns out, yes, you can. You can use TIS stations for either traveler's information, community information, public service announcements, as well as emergency information. I pursued it a bit, and we got the license from the FCC in October of 2009. Then the city gave us the go-ahead to design and build the station, which is what I did. Once we had the license, they give you a year to either get on the air or you have to give the license back. So at that point, once we had the license issued to us, time was of the essence. We didn't want to drag our feet too much. So the Kiwanis Club in town, of which I'm a member, took the lead and helped out with some fundraising. We were able to get about, $13,000-$14,000 worth of donations from the Kiwanis Club and the Civic Club and some other service clubs in the area, as well as just local citizens' contributions. The original budget for the station was projected at about, around $23,000-$24,000. And we just finished it up, and we came in under budget by about $7,000 or $8,000. So we were able to the whole station on the air for under $20,000, most of which came from donations. So instead of the city having to spend $14,000 annually for a contracted reverse 911 service, now we have a full-time radio station that was a one-time expense. And of course, during an emergency, it'll be used to give out, you know, whatever emergency information is deemed necessary by the city. But during the other 99% of the time when we don't have emergencies, the station can be used to publicize non-commercial, non-profit civic events, the art fair or the Wisteria Festival or 4th of July Parade or the Pancake Breakfast or, you know, whatever. And we have a lot of those kind of events in town, so we should be able to keep the station pretty busy with those kind of announcements just about year-round.
We're talking to a bunch of hams, obviously. Can you give us a little technical description of the station?
The station is split into two halves, into two pieces. The little mini studio is at City Hall, but because of various reasons, we were not able to locate the antenna there, just because there was no place to put it, no land. This station operates in the AM radio band at the top end of the dial at 1630 kilohertz. That requires a vertical antenna with a ground radial system installed at the base of the antenna. So we needed a fair amount of real estate surrounding the antenna for the ground system. We weren't able to locate the antenna near City Hall. So the second half of the system, which is the transmitter and the antenna, is about a mile away down at the city maintenance yard where we had some land. We put the antenna, it's actually in the middle of a dog park, which is just a big open area that doesn't have cement or asphalt or grass. It's just, you know, a big dirt lot for dogs to run around in. We installed the antenna there. It's about a 15-foot vertical with a center loading coil. It's made by a company called Morad up in Washington State. That vertical antenna is mounted on a 25-foot utility pole that was donated by the city of Pasadena. So we have this 15-foot loaded vertical mounted on top of a 25-foot wooden pole. And then at the base of the pole is a antenna tuner that matches the vertical antenna to standard 50-ohm coax. And then also at the base of the antenna, we have a ground system, which consists of about a dozen ground radials that go out like spokes on a bicycle wheel. They're buried about 8 inches below ground level in the dirt. They vary in length anywhere from about 40 feet to maybe 75 feet, depending on where the fencing is and so forth. The antenna and the ground system is in the dog park, and the antenna tuner matches that up to a coax, which runs about 200 feet to the room where the transmitter is.
You're listening to Newsline's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, speaking with Hank Landsberg, WB6MEU, a driving force behind the Sierra Madre, California Travel Information Station, now broadcasting on 1630 kilohertz. This is The Rain Report, archives of which are available from therainreport.com. We'll conclude Bill's interview in a moment.
The transmitter that we're using is made by LPB. It's a 30-watt AM transmitter, although it's not running at 30 watts. It's turned down to about 2 watts because the way the FCC licenses these stations is they allow you to have up to 10 watts of transmitter power feeding the antenna or 2 millivolts per meter of field strength measured about 1 mile away from the antenna, whichever comes first. So when we first put it on the air, we set the transmitter to 10 watts, made a few field strength measurements at various compass points around the antenna, and to make a long story short, we determined that we would hit our 2 millivolt legal field strength limit running 2 watts into the antenna. So the transmitter is set to 2 watt RF output.
What's your coverage at 2 watts?
It's actually pretty good, better than what I expected. On a car radio, you can hear it for a good 3 to 4 miles. Sierra Madre is a pretty small town. We're only about 3.5 square miles, and I think the width of the city is less than 2 miles. So it covers the city quite well, at least on a car radio. On a radio in your home, the signal gets a little bit weak once you get maybe a mile, mile and a half away, but you can still hear it. Of course, the signal strength on AM is dependent on ground conductivity, and we're up against the foothills here. So when you get to the northern part of the city, which is an area called the Sierra Madre Canyon, the signal strength does drop off a little bit because the ground conductivity up in the hills is not very good. It'll probably be better in the winter when we get a little more moisture into the ground. But we did all of our measurements in the middle of summer when things were pretty dry. But all things considered, it covers the city really well. And like I say, on a car radio, it's fine and you can hear it out a couple of miles. So it's doing okay.
Changing gear a bit, how do you feel about having been one of the, I guess, fathers of this project?
Well, it was actually a fun project for me to do. It's been a long time since I built any studios or radio stations or anything like that. It was a fun project. I've never personally put in an AM antenna system with a ground system, so that was a little bit of a learning experience, and that was a good thing. I had a little bit of assistance from my colleague, Dick Burden, who is really, quote, the father of TIS radio. I think he's the one who proposed the TIS radio system to the FCC 20, 25 years ago. One thing I didn't mention is how we feed audio from the studio at City Hall down to the transmitter site. The way we do that is via the city's computer network. We use a device made by Barracks, which takes analog audio in and essentially converts it into a stream. And you just plug that into the internet at one end, and then you plug a receiving device at the other end into the internet, and it picks up the stream and decodes it back into audio. So that's how we link the two locations together. Because the station will be used for emergency information, our city council wanted to be really sure that it would work under adverse situations and in all conditions. So there's a lot of backup equipment and redundant systems, for instance, in addition to the computer network that links the two locations. We also have a conventional dry phone line provided by Verizon that goes between the two locations, and there's an automatic switcher at the transmitter site that senses loss of audio on the computer network, and if that happens, it will automatically switch over to the Verizon backup line. The way we put audio on the air is we use devices called message repeaters, solid-state audio recorders, and you can record a bunch of audio. The message repeaters can store multiple audio messages, and then they just play them back in an endless loop. So the messages just play over and over and over, and it's fairly easy to change them and update them and so forth. So that's the audio side of things. And all that audio recording equipment is also duplicated down at the transmitter site. So in the event we had a really serious emergency and both of the links between City Hall and the transmitter went down, we could physically go to the transmitter and use the message repeaters down there to record messages and put them on right from the transmitter site. The transmitter will also have two sources of backup power, battery backup system that'll run the transmitter for about 10 hours, and also a small generator. So if we've got a power outage that looks like it's going to last more than 10 hours or several days, or we can always fire up this generator and run the system for, you know, weeks on end just by putting gas in the tank.
Sounds like a pretty complete installation that'll cover just about any eventuality.
That was the whole reason for doing it. Since emergency information was one of the reasons for putting the station on, we had to make sure that it would in fact work even under emergency conditions.
That was Hank Landsberg of Henry Engineering here in Los Angeles telling us about the new emergency and travelers information station in the city of Sierra Madre, California, not far from the Hollywood Bowl. And for the Rain Report, this is Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, in the City of Angels.